Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, the 28th of March, 2023. Welcome you into hour number two of the big show, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Welcome in, Mr. Zommers. A tough one. Don't mean to be a complete downer, but I think sometimes we just have to pause and reflect, as I said, and take this all in.
Yep, just because, well, sometimes with any negative emotions or events or any of that, you have to lean into it a little bit and allow yourself to feel that way so you can really understand it and figure out what you need to do and what we need to do going forward.
Absolutely. And I should have given this out. I wanted to. We had a caller there at the end of the show, which is, or end of the last hour, which is absolutely fine. But I wanted to give out, if you are feeling depressed, if you feel you need to talk to someone, if you feel you need any help at all, the number to call, simply call 988 on any phone, your cell phone, landline, doesn't matter. Of course, thanks to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin for getting that legislation through. It is easy to talk to someone. It is simply 988 on your cell phone, and you can talk to somebody. The Suicide Prevention Helpline, but it's not just suicide prevention, mental health, which, again, is something Governor Tony Evers has declared in the state the year of mental health, and certainly support him on that. But it's not just suicide. It's any sort of feelings that you need to, you have to talk to someone. 988 is there someone standing by immediately to help you now. News headlines in just a moment, but here, first of all, are your weather forecast headlines for this Tuesday, the 28th. In Richland Center, WRCE, in southwest Wisconsin today, look for skies to become sunny this afternoon. A high of 48 degrees. Kara Foster telling us we might actually break the 50-degree mark in Richland Center today. Then for tonight, mostly clear. Snowy in the evening, less than a half inch of accumulation, making a low tonight in Richland Center of 22. Then for tomorrow, Wednesday, a 30% chance of snow in the morning. Again, light, nothing heavy. Then sunny in the afternoon at a high of 35 degrees. Up in central Wisconsin, Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio for today. Mostly sunny, a high of 39 for tonight. A low of 16, a chance of showers. Again, nothing major as far as accumulation. Maybe less than a half an inch of accumulation in Wausau for tonight. Then for tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny at a high of 29 in Wausau. Over in Lake Air Radio Land, WLAK, mostly sunny, a slight chance of a snow shower in the afternoon, a high of 33. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 8. And Wednesday, sunny skies and a high of 28 degrees. That is your weather forecast. Again, Kara Foster saying, all in all, should be a pretty nice week ahead. Maybe a system coming in over the weekend. She will have details on that for us tomorrow. Top story this morning. Police in Nashville are working to uncover a motive in the mass shooting that killed six people at a Christian elementary school yesterday. The shooter, identified as a 28-year-old former student, was shot and killed by police during the attack, leaving behind drawn-out maps of the campus detailing how this was all going to take place, police said. 3 9-year-old children and 3 adults were killed in the tragedy. 2 of the victims were school employees. 1 was the head of the school and the other a custodian, according to the school. Monday's horror was among at least 130 mass shootings so far this year, more than any at this point in the previous year since at least 2013, according to data from the Gun Violence Archive. According to that same statistics, here are the list of AR-15 shootings in recent years. Uvalde in Texas just last year, AR-15. Buffalo, AR-15. Boulder, AR-15. Orlando, AR-15. Parkside, AR-15. Las Vegas, AR-15. Sandy Hook, AR-15. San Bernardino, AR-15. Midland, Odessa, AR-15. Colorado Springs, AR-15. Conway Synagogue, AR-15. Sutherland Springs, AR-15. Tree of Life Synagogue, AR-15. And yesterday in Nashville, an AR-15.
I do want to bring up the point. A lot of people argue that, oh, the AR-15 isn't even the most dangerous rifle, and banning that doesn't do anything. Well, it has become a symbol. And it is one of the most easily accessible and well-known dangerous assault weapons.
Certainly is. And as we said last hour, also does some of the most catastrophic damage to its victims. Chemical spill now. Philadelphia officials are set to provide an update on the city's water safety this morning following a recent chemical spill in the Delaware River that left many residents concerned about possible contamination. City officials have said the water supply is safe to drink and use until at least 3:30 this afternoon, prompting many people to snag bottles of water from quickly emptying grocery store shelves. Embattled Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced yesterday that he will delay plans to overhaul the country's judiciary amid widespread strikes and protests throughout the country. Netanyahu said he would delay votes on the remaining legislation until after the Knesset's Passover research make it recess in April, but it remains unclear if that will be enough time to calm protests. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has steadily scaled up its rhetoric on the situation, saying recently it was watching with quote-unquote concern. That's where we're at right now. We're going to take a break, come back, and with a little information on UW Richland. We'll have that more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 9:15 on a Tuesday morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us with Mr. Aaron Zommers. Pardon me. I hit the cough button, and clearly the cough button's not working or I didn't hit it hard enough. I don't know what. Anyway, sorry about that. Didn't mean to clear my throat right in your ears this morning. Last night, attended this meeting at the Richland campus via Zoom. By the way, great job to have this Zoom link for those of us that lived a little bit further away to dial into yesterday. It was a packed, even with the Zoom meeting, which I think there were 20 or 30 some people, like 20 some people on the Zoom. There were another, 75 people or so or more. It was a standing room only crowd at the UW-Richland campus last night at the Pippin Conference Center room. Great job by local county supervisors, Sean Murphy Lopez, who is the vice chair of the Richland County Board, and also Linda Gentis, who is the chairperson of the Education Committee and county supervisor as well. Here's a great example, as I said last hour, of two people who are local elected officials who are getting it done. I only wish that our state elected officials had this sort of temerity, the tenacity, the dedication to their constituents. Because Sean and Linda are doing yeoman's work in Richland County. And again, for people that might be listening to us in the Wausau area or Amory or other parts of the state, and you say, Todd, why are you spending so much darn time on this Richland campus story? Well, number one, it's a very important issue. It's my opinion, the top issue in Richland County in years. I mean, the only thing that might be bigger is the solvency of Richland County itself, the financial solvency. But the reason this case is important to this issue is important to the entire state of Wisconsin is because we have 13 two-year campuses spread across the state and 13 four-year campuses spread across the state. They're all part of the UW system. And do not fool yourself or kid yourself in thinking, well, what happened at Richland Center is just unique. They have their own problems. It won't happen here. To the contrary, it's just the opposite. The local community did nothing wrong. And I'm not just saying that because I'm from there. If I thought there was something going on, I'd call it out. From every piece of evidence, from every person I've talked to, the Richland Center community did everything right. The failure came at UW System and at UW Platteville. And the further failure has come from our state local or our state legislative leaders. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. So this is important because this could happen at any campus across the state of Wisconsin, with the exception at this point of Madison, Milwaukee, from what I'm told, probably Green Bay, La Crosse. Those four, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and La Crosse, probably aren't going to, the four-year campuses probably don't face any sort of a shutdown at this point. But pretty much any place else across this state that has a two-year or a four-year campus, this or an iteration of it could very well be visiting your community next. So it's good to pay attention to find out what's going on so that you're prepared, so that you ask questions ahead of time. So here again to review, just to give you a recap, because it's been a while since we talked about this. Here's the deal. The system president, Jay Rothman, put out an edict last year in November over the Thanksgiving Day holiday, saying that he had directed interim chancellor Tammy Ivedovich at Platteville to suspend all in-person classes at UW Richland after this academic year. He said that he intended to have a presence on the campus moving forward without detailing what that would mean. It's parsing words, but for all intent and purposes, he ordered the closure of the UW campus. Because, I mean, let's just be real. Unless you're going to set up a high-end computer technology lab with a dedicated online class presence, without having classes on campus, there really is no campus. So he essentially ordered the closure of the Richland campus back in November. He directed Ivedovich, the interim chancellor of Platteville, to come up with a plan by the middle of January. We reached out to Chancellor Ivedovich to invite her on this program to give her as much time as she would like to explain how this happened, why it happened. And on two different occasions, her spokesperson declined on her behalf, said that she would come on the show after her plan was released in January. We are still awaiting that call. She did release a document in January, but it was no plan. Essentially, the plan was to talk with the community. We're just going to talk with the community. That was there was no actual pathway forward. Oh, unless, of course, you mean that they're directing people to go to Platteville and not to Richland. And again, for those that might not be familiar, this all began really back in 2017, 2018, when former president of the system, Ray Cross, ignored the advice of his chancellor of the colleges. The 12 two-year colleges used to have their own chancellor. The last one was Kathy Sandine. And former Chancellor Sandine was a guest on our show back in November. She is now president of a college out in California. She joined us and informed us that she had put together an entire comprehensive plan for the two-year centers that would not have closed one of them, which would have addressed the changing needs of higher education in this state and this country. But she put together a comprehensive plan called UW Here, a campaign. Hired a local marketing firm here in Madison, put together a campaign called UW Here. Presented it to former President Cross. He killed it, dead on arrival, didn't let anybody see it, including the Board of Regents. He decided just to mash them all together. And again, from our reporting, based on former Chancellor Sandine and others, Ray Cross never had a thought-out plan. There was no detail to it. He simply told the four-year chancellors, you're getting these 2 years and you'll either sink or swim. That was the plan. So these four-year chancellors, the four-year campuses, most of whom did not want the 2 years, were stuck with them. The former chancellor at Platteville, Dennis Shields, certainly did not want either Richland or Baraboo, but he was stuck with them. So beginning in the 17-18 year, things started to decline. Back in 2014, the UW-Richland campus had over 500 enrolled students in 2014-2015. Today, they are at around 60. And so then after Ray Cross left, the interim president was Tommy Thompson, former governor of Wisconsin. He did make an appearance on campus before he was replaced by current president Jay Rothman. Incidentally, Tommy Thompson had let it be known that he wanted to stay on in a permanent position, but the governor and the Board of Regents declined, wanted to get somebody new. So they went to Milwaukee and got the head of Foley & Lardner, one of the biggest law firms in the country, Jay Rothman, to be the new. No experience, by the way, in education. Doesn't have a degree in education. He's a lawyer. Very, very good lawyer. Very successful lawyer. But no education experience. In terms of, I mean, he obviously has an education. He has a law degree. But I'm talking about no, never taught before. Never been an administrator. No background in overseeing a college or a university. And that's who the Board of Regents decided would be a good job, be a good person to lead our UW system. So Jay Rothman comes in last summer, never visited the Richland campus once. Not once. And then he puts out this edict that he's going to close the campus. And again, for background purposes, the longtime recruiter, John Poole, retired. Put in a full career. Did more for that campus than almost anybody else. If you had to make a Mount Rushmore of the most influential people of the campus in its 50-year history, John Poole would certainly be on the UW-Richland Mount Rushmore. Well-deserved retirement. And UW-Platteville and system never replaced him. Never hired anybody else. So you didn't have anybody, a dedicated recruiter going out and recruiting for Platteville. Oh, they hired somebody that they said was going to help with Platteville and Baraboo and Richland. But again, we've heard stories reporting, talking directly to guidance counselors in the rural areas of Southwest Wisconsin and students who said, yeah, they don't mention Richland when they come to our school. They just mention Platteville. The campus foundation overseen for many years by former four-time mayor of Richland Center, Darla Wentz, who did a great job overseeing the foundation, went to Platteville and said, hey, we have about $6 million of private funds in the foundation. We would like to gift $600,000 of that to hire a dedicated recruiter. And without reason, Platteville said no. Richland lost its dean, dedicated dean, only to the campus. They didn't have staff being replaced. So it's no wonder that recruitment went down, right? Again, the Richland community did nothing wrong. It was these decisions made at Platteville and system that no one will give us answers to why this happened. So this edict was sent out that Richland was going to be closed. So system sends in not the president of the system. The president of the system, Jay Rothman, has been at other campuses since he took over as president last year, but he refuses to come to Richland Center. Instead, he sent out one of his vice presidents, Jeff Barrant, who I know pretty well, was a staffer for Democrats in the state Senate, one of whom was Pat Kreitlow, who has a show on this network. and the other is Bob Jauch. And so Jeff Brandt and I worked together when I worked for Dale Schultz on stopping Scott Walker on mining in northern Wisconsin. He's a smart cookie, a shrewd guy. And so he's been leading the negotiations with the Richland campus. We're going to tell you where those negotiations are at and what happened at last night's meeting when we come back. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show. It is 9:33 on a Tuesday morning, the 28th of March, 2023. Great song there from the original Muppet movie, Moving Right Along. That's what we're trying to do, move this along, right? This issue of the UW Richland campus. Great folks locally trying to move this along as well. Meeting last night in Richland Center on the UW Richland campus in the Pippin Conference Room. County Board Vice Chair Sean Murphy Lopez and his colleague on the County Board, Supervisor and Chair of the Education Committee, Linda Gentis. They have been trying to move this along ever since this was announced last fall, doing yeoman's work locally in the Richland community, along with several other people who have been working on this. In my opinion, none more so than Sean and Linda. So the system... UW System said, "Well, come up with a plan. Come up with a plan. We want to see your thoughts." Because again, Rothman, President Rothman of the system, won't come to Richland Center, so he sent his vice president, Jeff Brandt. And guess now let me just get the so think about this for a second. If you were this UW System and you said, "We want to have an academic presence," I guess they didn't use the term academic. They said a presence at Richland campus. But if you were bargaining in good faith and you're telling the local community in Richland Center, no, we want to have an academic program, wouldn't you bring someone who's in charge of academics from UW System with you? Wouldn't you bring someone who's in charge of student affairs with you? But guess who the vice president of the system, Jeff Brandt, brought with him? Their attorney. brought an attorney with him. Now look, I might have been born on a weekend, as my old friend Bo Ryan likes to say, but it wasn't last weekend. I've been in enough meetings at the Capitol and in Washington and in private to know that if somebody's bringing their attorney with them, it either means that they don't want their client saying something's going to get them into trouble, or they're looking for something on the other side of the table that they could use in future deliberations. UW System brought Vice President Jeff Brandt and their attorney. And remember, the president of the system, Jay Rothman, was the CEO and top attorney at Foley & Lardner, the state's and one of the country's biggest law firms. So right away, they get their attorneys involved. and nothing against attorneys. I mean, you need them in life, as clearly the UW system knows. So that's number one. that's the first red flag. So they come out to meet with the local people there. And again, remember, the way this is set up, there is a contract between the county and system. The county provides the buildings and the upkeep, and the system provides everything else. The teachers, the books, the academics, the equipment, all of that. There's a contract. And the only way to get out of that contract is if the legislature doesn't provide the money, or if the mission changes from the legislature. To my knowledge, neither one of these two things have happened. That's the only way you could close a campus. So you ask, well, how can Rothman do this? Well, because he's an attorney. And attorneys are very shrewd. And remember, technically, he did not say he was closing the campus. He only said he was suspending in-person academic student activity. These attorneys, they know how to parse words and use the law. All right? So instead of bringing a plan from Platteville, instead of bringing a plan from System, the System folks said, no, you locals who are not in charge of the academics here, you come up with a plan. Which, number one, seems awfully odd. But the good folks that Sean Murphy Lopez and Linda Gentis and others are, they said, okay. And so they put together a plan, which they have presented to UW System, and which they released to the public yesterday and went over in detail last night at this meeting at the campus. So the concept is, and we won't go through every single thing, but the concept is to borrow former Chancellor Sandeen's campaign and call it UW Here. All right, great first step. To get your higher education and increase your income in your backyard. Meeting rural education needs for Southwest Wisconsin for traditional and non-traditional students. All great things, the concept. So there is a need. They put together a need. Rural people have a lower rate of higher education than urban people. A lot of that's due to access, right? 20% in Richland County, 17% in Crawford, 24% in Vernon County. Across Wisconsin, 32% of rural folks have a higher education versus urban. And then they attach that to economic prosperity. Median household incomes are lower in Richland County than across the rest of the state. 56,000 in Richland County compared to 67,000 across the state of Wisconsin. And then what people earn. On average, those in Wisconsin with a bachelor's degree earn approximately $1,350 a week on the average. Those with an associate's degree, $950, and those with only a high school diploma, $800. And let me just stop here quickly and say, make it clear, I am not a believer, that every single person needs or should get a university 2 or 4 year degree. I'm a big believer in the technical school system. I'm a big believer in the trades. And let me tell you, as someone who had a small business and watched it being built out, I could never do what plumbers and electricians do. And that is highly skilled education and the years they have to put in apprenticeship programs. And there is a need for more of that in Wisconsin as well. And a lot of those plumbers and electricians are making a heck of a lot more than a person with a 4-year degree. I get that. But on average, all right, this is on average. People with, and I personally include technical college as a degree. It is a degree. It's higher education. So these numbers aren't just associated, I don't believe, with only traditional higher ed. So then they put together this this group at the campus, put together a model, the plan, if you will. Minimum of 3 in-person degrees. So they're suggesting putting together an associate's degree, also a degree teaching, focusing on teacher certificates, and also one focused on nursing. And again, they put together a wonderful plan showing a need for more teachers. We're going through a teacher shortage right now in this state. Going through a nursing shortage in this state. So they put all this together. Also in the plan, bringing back the international student program, which I believe at one time had about 30 or 40 students on campus from other countries. And there was a feeder program from the Eagle School, the private school, Richland Center, that brought international students here for their high school degree. And then they would go to the campus and then some even to UW-Platteville or other places for a 4-year degree before going back to their home country. That was discontinued as well, by the way. The international director at Platteville, which oversaw Richland, told the Richland person, don't have any contact with international communities. That's what we were told. The person in charge of international program at Richland was said you can't call foreign countries or contact them. Well, pretty tough to get international students when that happens, right? So how do they fund this? They put together, the Richland County wants to apply for a USDA Rural Development Community Facilities Grant and also a Rural Development Distance Learning Grant. Richland County would continue to help pay for the buildings. The Richland County Campus Foundation is open to helping to fund part of this in terms of scholarships. The Community and Alumni Fundraising Campaign. And then they put together a transition plan over the 23-24 academic year. Some of the things included in there, utilities and maintenance remain with UW System. Equipment and materials remain at UW Richland. East Hall, that's one of the buildings kind of apart from the main campus. Those will be taken over by the Richland School District. The local school district has reached out and said they'd be interested in that building. Also moving the UW Extension to Melville Hall. Melville Hall, the Miller Library, the Science Hall, the Wallace Student Center are remodeled by Richland County. UW System upgrades technology and furnishings in Melville Hall, Miller Library, Science Hall, and the Wallace Student Center. The classroom building is reserved for future residence hall and stays in the agreement. Great idea. A gymnasium, outdoor court, soccer field management taken over by the Richland School District and stays in the agreement. And tillable acreage, beautiful woods and acreage around Richland County, around the Richland campus, is removed from the agreement and taken over by Richland County. An office and classroom space in the Wallace Student Center offered to Southwest Technical College. And then they put together a staffing plan. The first year, phase one would be 5.7 full-time equivalent positions. The next year to 7.5 full-time equivalent positions. And in phase three, 11 full-time equivalent positions. And then they put together a great document as far as classes that they would offer. So that's the plan put together by Sean Murphy Lopez, Linda Gentis, and others that they have presented to the system. When you negotiate almost anything, right? The other side has to put their cards on the table as well. Here we are at the 28th of March, 2023. And so far, UW System has offered no plan. None. Well, how the heck are you supposed to negotiate if you're the Richland community if UW System isn't willing to put their cards on the table? So here's what came out of the meeting. There is an April 30th deadline coming up for these two sides to reach an agreement on a plan. April 7th, the Richland business community is supposed to meet with Jeff Barant from System and others to voice their information. Here's something that came out of the, I wrote this down. Here's a quote from one of the attendees at the meeting. I thought, so here's the real news. I've kind of buried the lead, I guess. But here are a couple of things we're going to go over. We'll carry it into the next break. Here are a couple of the big pieces of news. One of the great comments last night was, quote, where did Rothman, i.e. the president of the system, where did Rothman get his information to make his decision to close this campus? As long as he's president, I think we're singing into the wind, unquote. I thought the person that said that last night was fantastic. I think she's absolutely spot on. Another person said, quote, I want to see evidence that system is working this hard to solve this problem, unquote. We have no evidence of that. That person is absolutely right. Another person brought up the question, what about all the equipment, the table, the chairs, phones, copy machines, all the things that allow it, I mean, and the answer that came back from Sean Murphy Lopez is it's kind of ambiguous. It doesn't speak to this in the agreement. So right now it's assumed that all this equipment inside the buildings belongs to Platteville. And the only assurance that they have right now is that this equipment will stay in Richland Center through the academic year, which we're, what, not quite even 2 months away from end of the academic year. Most of the academic stuff is wrapped up by the 15th of May. And then it came time for the mayor of Richland Center, Todd Copperdall, to speak. He's talked with the governor. He's talked with Howard Markline. And we'll come back and tell you what they said after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Right in my pocket. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. I would live in the life. Things were just the way they should be. I like this. One bit more. Out of the sky like a bomb comes some little punk in a rocket. Now all of a sudden, some strange things are happening to me. What's that from?
It's Strange Things from Toy Story.
Oh, yeah. I recognize it. I'm just like, oh, yeah. Fantastic. 9:51, Todd Allball Show, Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. I am Todd Allball. Welcome your calls on this issue of the campus, 715-388-7155. What do you make of this? This issue of the Richland campus. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Welcome your calls this morning. 715-388-7155. So this is when it got good. I mean, it was all good last night. Watch this via Zoom. And thank you very much to Linda and Sean for setting the Zoom up so some of us didn't have to drive in. But here's something that someone said, well, where is Governor Tony Evers on this? And Linda Genta said that they have tried the local community. And remember, she is a county supervisor, the head of the education committee. Sean Murphy Lopez is the vice chairman of the Richland County Board. They have reached out to Governor Tony Evers' office and heard nothing. Can't even get a meeting with him or a staffer, apparently. They're just being ignored. Can't get in to see the lieutenant governor. Have tried. Can't get a hold of her. Mayor Todd Copperdall said that Governor Evers was, in fact, in Richland Center recently for another issue. And by the way, I have to add now that Todd Copperdall is an employee of Civic Media, a salesperson. So we welcome him to the team, but I have to add that now. Every time I bring up him, he is technically a colleague. But Mayor Todd Copperdall said that he asked the governor about this, Governor Evers. And that all Evers wanted to talk about is deflect and talk about shared revenue. Wouldn't talk about it to Mayor Todd Copperdall of Richland Center. So then the mayor said, well, he also met with State Senator Howard Markline on another issue. And the mayor took the opportunity to bring up the Richland campus. And again, Senator Markline deflected and all he wanted to talk about was shared revenue. Why is it that both Governor Tony Evers and State Senator Howard Markline, all they want to talk about is anything but the Richland campus? What is going on here? I spent over 30 years in government at the state level and federal level. Met with people on both sides of the aisle. I've seen a lot. I've never seen this before. I've never seen both Republicans and Democrats ignoring local elected officials, ignoring a huge issue like this, and not wanting to talk about it, not wanting to go on the record, not wanting to talk to media, the president of the system, not wanting to talk about it. Here's a little nugget. Jeff Barrant, the vice president of the system, guess what his attitude was? He barred my former boss, Dale Schultz, a former Senate Majority Leader, a former chair of the Higher Ed Committee in the state Senate, and a graduate of UW-Madison, few people understand the UW system better than my former boss, Dale Schultz. Jeff Barrant said, you can't bring Dale Schultz to any of the meetings. We don't want to meet in Richland Center if Dale's going to be there. I mean, how about that? I mean, I'll tell you the reason. Because something don't smell right in Denmark. And Dale's smart enough to figure it out. Let's go to the phone line. Steven in Green Bay, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you, Todd?
We're hanging in there. What do you want to talk about this morning?
So the first thing I want to say, and this is just more of a joke than anything else, you better watch what music you play on your station, because one of those righty tighty whities might get offended and try to take you off the air.
Well, we'll talk about that next hour, but yes, go ahead.
Anyways, I'm not 100% sure what this Richland Center story is about. So can you fill me in so I can make an informed comment on this?
Sure. I'll give you the quick 30-second overview. Again, last fall, President Rothman said that he was suspending all in-person classes after this academic year, which essentially means they are closing the Richland campus, which essentially the president does not have the power to close a campus, but because he's an attorney, he worded it in a way where he's not technically closing it, but in reality, he is. And the locals had $6 million at a foundation. They wanted to hire a recruiter, do other things to improve enrollment, and they were told no by their head campus of Platteville. And neither Platteville or the system wants to tell us why these decisions were made or how they were made. And now they don't want to put a plan on the table to match the local plan as to how to move forward.
And importantly, the reasons that they gave are, declining demographics. And before the demographics were declining, funding was removed, like substantial, like a quarter approximately of the funding for the school was just removed with no explanation.
They were set up for failure, Stephen. That's the point. And the point is that this could happen at virtually any other UW campus across the state.
Okay. I thought it had something to do with that, but I just wanted to make sure. So here's my comment on that. The UW system in general is the backbone of the state. And I think messing with any school in the UW system is not just dangerous for the school system, but dangerous for the state of Wisconsin as a whole. And so without getting too deep into it, because like I said, I don't horribly know this story a lot, but anytime I hear anybody, whether it's Democrat, Republican, whatever, talking about messing with any of our universities in the University of Wisconsin system, it sets some alarm bells off in my head.
I agree with you, Stephen. And, from what I hear, what I know, UW Green Bay is doing well. But, of course, it has the branch campus at Marinette. Of course, Wausau has the Wausau campus there as well. And over at Amory, you have UW Barron close by. So this can definitely touch other parts of the state, but I agree with you. The borders, that's the Wisconsin idea, right? The borders of our state should be the borders of the university. Stephen, we thank you as always for listening, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. That is Stephen in Green Bay. If you'd like to join us, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. 715-388-7155. We'll take your calls next hour. Also coming up next hour, we have Tuesday Tangents with the one and only Luke Mathers. Looking forward to that. And we'll talk a little music going on down in Waukesha. They don't like Dolly Parton. Who doesn't like Dolly Parton? Waukesha people don't. It is our third hour straight ahead. This is the Todd Allball Show. This is Civic Media Radio Network.